Greetings, this is Reverend Juliet Nightingale, and welcome to this transmission of Toward the Light, Leading Back to the Source. This is a program centered on near-death, out-of-body, and similar spiritually transformative experiences and related topics, including what people should know about the dying process, the many facets of after-death communications, living interdimensionally and being multisensory, intuition and telepathy, and more. We feature special guests who have both experiences and researchers in the realm of NDEs and related topics. You're more than welcome to call in to make comments or ask questions during the show, and we look forward to hearing from you today. Also, there are many products and services available through our organization Toward the Light, including near-death studies and support, spiritual, psychic, grief and motivational counseling, Reiki and remote healing, CDs, DVDs, books, and more. For more information, please do see our website, towardthelight.org. This week, I'm very pleased to have back with us for a second transmission of Toward the Light with Peggy Kane, who has got the website RVP Reverse Speaking.com, and that stands for EVP, Electronic Voice Phenomena, EVP Reverse Speaking.com. Welcome, Peggy.
Oh, thank you for having me back, Juliet.
It's really, really wonderful, and I know it felt like we were just getting started last week when we had to close for last week, and so this week we're going to have a lot to discuss. And do you want to just go over a brief little bit about your work, and then we'll get into the subject of the day?
I'll be happy to. I got started with EVP, which is the electronic voice phenomenon, about 5 years ago, and it took a while and the right kinds of equipment, because it's using digital and tape recorders and sound editing software on a computer in order to capture spirit voices and then boost the volume and all that. And it took me a while. And I finally made a breakthrough and was having conversations with those who I thought were spirit guides and loved ones and highly evolved spiritual beings, although sometimes I would wonder, because some of the things they said didn't sound so spiritually evolved. But I found that being naive in this whole field is probably not a good thing. And it took about 6 months before I really woke up and found out that this group of people who were living in what we would consider the lower astral realm were pretty much jerking me around and telling me stuff that they thought I wanted to hear, and playing parts of different people. And what happened was I sort of stumbled on reverse speech through knowing and listening to David Oates, who's the founder. And I found that EVP was also reversible, and it would expose any lies. And it was a big wake-up call, because the messages I had been getting were getting more and more outlandish, and I was having a lot of doubts. But when I started to reverse the people, it was all there. Their lies. The fact that when I would reverse my own self talking to them, I knew they were lying in reverse, not consciously. And as time went on, I tried to get rid of these people because they really wanted to talk to my spirit guides and highly evolved spiritual beings. But I just couldn't seem to get rid of them. And one man in particular, Francis Haley, just really refused to ever get off of my recording equipment, no matter what I did. And in spite of the fact that he was kind of driving me crazy, we sort of struck up a friendship, and I began to learn about life in their world. And because I didn't abandon them and just put the stuff away and give up, and I said, I want to know what's going on over there. And I was genuinely interested in the lives of the people over there, because it was nothing like what we were believing. So to make a long story short, it took me quite a while to piece together all the different parts of the puzzle. But eventually I came to realize that there is an agency well, they're actually a reptilian race from the, originally from the Orion constellation, who have been manipulating this planet for thousands of years. And I began to reverse not just spirit people, but then living people, politicians and movies, I mean, all different people. And I began to understand the bigger picture of the net, the electromagnetic frequency barrier that they've strung around the planet, as well as how this whole reality is like a matrix. And we're manipulated from birth until death, practically. And there is good news, but it's right now we are, it's worse this day, today. It's worse than it has ever been right now.
And that's what it feels like to me, too. And I've also used the same term. I've called it the matrix grid or what have you. And even David Icke has referred to it, and a few people have referred to it, including Matthew Deleuze. We'll have to have him back on again, too. He's brilliant. And a number of people, and I'm you know, as difficult as all of this is, I'm so pleased that a lot of people are aware of this fact, Peggy, and are coming forward and talking about it and not freaking out when people like you say, well, this is what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to hear it, because then it means that when we can face the music, as it were, we can start to do something about it.
Well, we have to wake up, and then we can really be empowered, because there are things we can do. There are events that are happening, which is a huge story, and we are getting out of this mess. But left to our own devices, we're just—it's just too confusing here. This is a hall of mirrors, and it's done purposely.
Yes.
Just look—it's hard to find two people who just agree on everything, except maybe you and me, Juliet. But, in reverse, I have never heard a contradictory story, and I've reversed now. I can't even tell you. It has to be thousands. I've done this for 5 years, every single day. And no one contradicts this basic story of what's happening in this reality. And that makes it very potent in my mind.
And was it that or something you learned from David Oakes that alerted you to the fact that reverse speaking divulges lies, or that you can't hear lies in reverse speaking? How does all of that work? How did you come to know that?
Well, I had been very interested in David's work, although I wasn't doing any reverse. I call it reverse speaking because David's got a trademark on reverse speech, so don't want to step on his trademark.
Oh, and, okay. That's it for trademarks.
let's not step on his trademark. So, and I had been on doing a TV show, and a UFO TV show, and I'd actually had the opportunity to talk to David. My computer's playing music. The voices start just coming through. But I had the opportunity to interview him, and I just thought his work was incredible. But I didn't come to it first. I came to it through EVP and kind of stumbled into it. And I realized that many of the metaphors that David was attributing to parts of our psyche were actually not... they were actually realities in these other worlds. So when he talks about the owl, and he refers to the owl as wisdom, or wisdom from the higher mind or the conscious mind, depending upon how it's used, I know the owl to be a metaphor for this reptilian race, and it is the most common metaphor dealing with this reptilian race. And anybody who knows about Bohemian Grove can understand that the owl is a very potent occult symbol and used by secret societies and all that. And that's all tied in. I mean, David Icke is the champion for giving the background of all this stuff.
And he even points out how there are a number of roads in Washington, D.C. that are literally in the shape of an owl.
Yes.
Washington Mall or Monument, or what, where the monument, I guess, is that big how do you call it?
The obelisk. Yes, the obelisk. All those things are occult symbols.
Yes, absolutely. Hugely.
And I want to just mention on my website, which is evpreversespeaking.com, there's a friend of mine who's going by his Greek name, Dimitri, has written a book very in-depth, and he's just calling it Reversed, and he is showing all the tie-ins with the occult symbols, and reversals, and how they overlap. And it's a free, you can read it on my website, the whole book. And he's done an amazing job. So anybody really wants to get into that part of it is welcome to just go and check out Reversed by Dimitri Fonair.
Wonderful. Thanks for sharing that with our listening audience.
You're welcome.
That's great. You know, one thing that has been brought up is that, especially in the New Age, and of course there are some things about it I don't resonate with and some things that I do, that we're just trying to sort of break out of the shackles of all the modes that we have been subjected to. The importance of thinking positive and so on and so forth. But it would appear that we don't have as much power as one would think just by thinking positively. That doesn't mean that we're going to get the desired results. And so we're going to be talking about that today and also addressing the secret.
Yes.
Because that has been so popular. And I had no idea that there are actually two versions of that film. I saw the original Secret at a Noetic Sciences meeting, I think it's been 3 years ago now, whilst I was in Nashville, Tennessee. And I beheld Esther Hicks and some other people, and I recoiled immediately. To me, and I'm just speaking about my own reactions, my own feelings about it, is that it's loaded with hype and inaccuracies and being too simplistic. But also something that really impacted me was the fact that I experienced little to no love coming from most of the people who were speaking on the film, except for Michael Beckman.
Mm-hmm.
He was I experienced him as being very genuine, very loving, very sincere. Esther Hicks, on the other hand, seems very, very cold and calculating, and even looking at her, I was pained by what I saw. So it was interesting to see you bringing it up recently. I thought, I want to see what Peggy's got to say, because it's bothered me for ages, and people have too easily thrown at me, Law of Attraction, The Secret. Oh, you're not doing it right.
Yes.
So let's get into this, because
I'm just waiting here. I can jump right on this. I think before I start, because I have some very telling reversals from that clip. Now, to tell you the truth, I'm not sure which one I have. I could never sit through that whole. I mean, I listened to the first, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. I always reverse people, because I tell you what, I judge by what people say in reverse, because if they're saying essentially the same thing, then I know they're not lying. If they're contradicting themselves, then there's something wrong there. So I just listened for a few minutes, and I said, there's definitely manipulation in this, and I dismissed it. And so people on my website started asking me about it, and I pulled out the old CD, which somebody had sent me a copy, and I don't know if it's the new one or the old one. I don't even know when it was made, because I've had it for about a year. I will suggest that those who are big fans and have been doing this for several years, I would expect that by now their lives would be just perfect, because if you can just get anything you want by thinking about it, I mean, they should all be wealthy and have wonderful houses and lots of new cars and all these things, and I suspect that that's not true. Saying that, I also have heard from people who followed and really worked hard to follow the principle of the law of attraction and found things were not going well for them. Some people were getting ill, and other people were just having problems in their lives, and they found not only were they feeling guilty now because obviously they're not doing something right, it has to be their thoughts, because we all have this, according to The Secret, we all have this tremendous power that we can manifest everything and anything if we think about it long enough with enough emotion, and that we're ready to receive. Boy, does that sound easy. So people are struggling with the thought that they must be doing something wrong because their lives are not perfect the way they think they should be. And there are others that they may be friends with who are practicing this are sort of now looking at them askance, because obviously they've drawn this to them. So now everybody's, you know, there's judgment there.
Big time.
There's
big time.
Guilt.
Thank you for pointing that out, because
there's
that's
guilt, yep.
been my experience.
Well, and people on my website are you know, really talking about this a lot, because they've been made to feel that it's beating up the victim. It's beating up the victim. And so I decided to really go back and listen to this, this secret, and I'm suggesting anybody who might be listening who is really a fan, I can give an address for a free download for a sound editing program. If you just select the music in the first part of this CD and you download that music, it is filled with very negative subliminals. It is orchestrated very, very, what's the word I'm trying to find? It's very sophisticated, because what happens is this lady, and I'm going to go right into starting to play these clips rather than doing all this talking. This is the very beginning where and I don't know all these people's names, because it was hard for me to record, then download, then reverse, and keep track of who's saying what. Everybody is jumping in, you know. So I think those who are familiar with all these characters, and I do want to agree with you about the Reverend Michael.
Beckman, yeah.
Yes. He had, I think, the best of all the reversals. Now, I didn't get through the whole thing because that would take me 6 months. But I'm going to just start with the foreword of this, where it just starts off where this Australian woman is talking about her life is basically, you know, really in bad shape. And then I'm going to let you just listen to what she says in reverse during this clip. So here's the foreword. Okay,
Are you able to make that any louder? I couldn't hear anything. But
oh, I'm sorry. I will boost the volume. I'm sorry. I should have checked with you before I had to keep going.
That's all right. Well, maybe, hopefully, somebody was able to hear it, but
you know what?
I mean,
I can do it again real quickly, if that. I mean, it lasts about a minute.
Okay,
let me just boost the volume, and I'll play. I just didn't want to blast you out.
Okay.
Okay, here she goes again.
Given a glimpse of a great secret.
Was that okay?
Yes. Okay. Much better. Thank you so much.
I didn't want... I was afraid it was going to be like, ah, screaming. So she's talking, and, you know, she's talking about how, you know, her life is, you know, just going downhill and all that. And so I'm just going to give you two reversals that come out in that little section. And I'm not even going to prompt this first one because it is crystal clear. But here's what she says forward.
Little did I know at the time.
And here's what she says backwards. Did you hear that?
It said nothing.
Well, she says, now there's bullshit.
Oh, okay.
Let me try one more time.
Now there's bullshit.
Got it.
Now there's bullshit.
Reverse speaking does not mince words.
Very interesting.
And
very
here,
interesting.
Here again, this is what she's saying in forward speech.
Been given a...
She's getting ready to say, been given a great gift. And then in that section, she says, then they're faking it. So obviously she's not congruent here. I mean, there's a problem with her little story here. Now, it could be that her story is not true, but this goes on, and the part where it really gets weird is this next section, because it's very, it's almost like Raiders of the Lost Ark. You know, it's very Hollywood, where
yes,
the secrets have been carried and buried, and people are running for their line of armies, and, you know, through time, and it's so your conscious mind is really kept distracted by these images, and you're focusing on the activities of what is happening, you know, on the television screen. Meanwhile, this music is playing, and I'm just, you know, I'm going to kind of talk while the music's going on, but it goes on and on. It's very loud, fast, lots of whispering, and she's talking about tracing the secret back to history, and I'm kind of just letting it go in the background.
Yes, and it's also very dramatic. I actually, after talking with you several days ago, I went to the secret website and watched their trailer, which was this music, and I thought, I don't know, it just seemed awfully eerie to me.
It's very eerie, and you know why, Juliet? You're picking up what's actually being said in all that, kind of a cacophony of whispers and music and stuff going on while you're watching the flickering lights and the action on the TV, and you're sort of mesmerized by da-da-da, you know, this person running and torches and, you know, all this action. And the one problem that with trying to have you hear subliminals buried in music is, you know, they're not that easy to hear because they're soft and they're buried in the sound, and you're not supposed to hear them consciously. They're supposed to go right into your right brain, and there's even a section here where they talk about that's going into the right brain. And let me just put that one up, because I had to, you know, it's noisy, but at the very end, and I'll play it a couple times so you can catch it, there's this little female voice that says, right brain. So let me just play that for you.
Wow.
See if you can pick it up. I'll play it a few times. It's like it's kind of in a loop here, but she's saying, right brain.
I think I discerned that. Yes,
it is. It's very clear. You know, when you have your earphones on, it's very clear that this right brain is you know, programming the right brain to be open. And I'm just let's see. I'm going to, and then right after that part, there's this banging sound. It's like ba-boom. And visually you're seeing bad men, you know, bad men. And so it's like bad men music. But when you listen to it carefully, I can hear, and you probably won't because it's very noisy, but I can hear, minds open. But I'll let you hear the cadence of it because, again, there's nothing positive, spiritual, or uplifting about any of this. But here's that little section. And when it's going, that is, I can hear. Now, others may not hear this because this gets very subjective, but it sounds to me like they're saying, the mind's opening. The mind's opening. So, you know, again, so distracted watching the screen that you don't hear. It's subliminal. That's how subliminals work. They bypass the conscious mind because you're not focusing. Once you see a subliminal, and David Icke goes into this a lot, once you see a subliminal, it no longer works. It has to be on a totally subconscious level. And so that's why I'm saying anybody who's really wanting to know if you can get this free download and just listen to this stuff, it is creepy. It's very creepy. It's nothing positive or uplifting. And I'll just play a few from this first, the same section where this lady is now going to be talking about, well, here she is in forward speech. I don't exactly remember what she's saying, but she's talking about, well, here it is. I began to trace the secret is what she's starting to say. But in that section, she says, and I'm hoping people can hear this. She says, here's the maggot, which is a very nasty metaphor. Here's the maggot. And then afterwards in the music, see if you can't hear like what a voice that says it's hollow. And just so she says, here's the maggot. And then it says it's hollow.
That was very clear.
Oh, really? Oh, good.
To me, it was.
Yeah, it's there's just another one in the music here. I tried to pull out the ones that I thought would be impossible to hear. This is, again, within the sounds of the music where they're talking about Roundup. It's just Roundup Hate. The last word in that music. See if you can't hear the long A of hate. Roundup Hate. So that's the subliminals are just filled with this. There's nothing uplifting, positive about it. And as she goes on, she is very incongruent. And here she's speaking again and forward.
Back through history.
Then she says something. There's this music in the beginning, and then she says, here is this year's catch. It's almost as if we're roping them in. Here is this year's catch.
Wow.
So I guess you're being roped in to this little mind game. Now we get into the different people who are speaking. And this is, it's loaded with reversals. And, you know, I can hear probably, I usually hear about 50% without any trouble. But that doesn't mean that other people who are not used to hearing them. So sometimes, so what I've done is, this is a little clip where this one man, I think he is Bob Proctor, but I'm not 100% sure. People will probably recognize his voice. He's talking about the people who have the money and how they got the money. So here he is in forward. It just takes it's about 20 seconds.
I think that 1% of the population earns around 96% of all the money that's being earned. Do you think that's an accident? It's no accident. It's designed that way. They understand something. They understand the secret. And
So he refutes that a lot, because anybody who's aware of the banking and money system here knows that this is a whole manipulated system. But here in reverse, he's talking, in that clip, he just says, answer, give not. Not give, excuse me. Answer, not give. In other words, he's not giving the answer. Answer, not give. And then finally in that, he also says, it's sick. Because money has been manipulated and used to enslave, to ravage our planet, to keep people in misery, to keep people desperately trying to get more. And it is the number one to me, that in our society, money has just, there's, I used to think, oh well, maybe it's, you know, it's kind of like neutral and it's how you use it. I do not believe that anymore, because if you've gotten it, you have to ask yourself where it came from. If you've invested it, if you have enough to invest, what are you investing it in? Monsanto, the oil industry, the war machine. And anybody who is really interested in how money has been used over the hundreds of years to manipulate this, even in modern times, there's an excellent book that I can recommend that's strictly, you know, on a 3D level, what I would call 3D level, and it's John Perkins, and it's called Confessions of an Economic Hitman. And he was very much involved in getting countries, third world countries, in debt into bankers, and how it ravaged, enslaved the countries, and the mess that is created. So anybody who thinks that money is, I mean, we all need it. I mean, I'm not Pollyanna here. I have to make money, and I know you do, Juliet, and so does everybody else out there. But it is not. The system itself is evil, in my opinion. And when he says it's sick, he's not kidding.
Boy, well, I would think not. And another interesting point that I brought up about money, even though I'm very open to abundance, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with learning how to receive, especially a lot of us who are very good at giving, but we don't necessarily know how to receive. So I'm all game for learning how to receive. But the point with the money issue is that anything having to do with money is controlled and monitored. Do you have a legal right to work in this country? Every dollar you earn is being monitored and looked at and controlled and manipulated, what have you. Are you expected to pay taxes, even though there's no law that says you have to pay income tax, for example?
Right, right.
You know, how do you generate abundance and stay under the radar? I don't think you can, not financially. You know, so there's a lot of traps, I would say, that are centered around money.
Yes.
I don't want people to think that I'm not interested in positive thinking. By all means, I am, and I work on it all the time, and I'm doing Reiki for healing and for positive thinking. But this, you know, I think the whole thing with the secret and the law of attraction and what Esther and Jerry Hicks have been talking about is too simplistic.
Yes.
And it's just, it can't work in the present system is my experience of this.
I agree with you.
When we are freed of this grid of this reptilian manipulation, then that might be something else. But right now, I just thought, oh boy, this is a tall order. And when I was reading the book called Ask and It Is Given,
mm-hmm.
You know, first of all, it's so much like Get Rich Quick. Okay, no myoho renge kyo, I'm going to get a Mercedes Benz and a chauffeur to boot, you know.
Uh-huh.
And to me, that's beside the point. It's not about materialism. We're supposed to think about becoming more spiritually aware and becoming more authentic,
yes,
in our being. But what I was seeing with this is that it's about manipulation and then making everybody easy prey for being judged by those, oh, law of attraction, you're not doing your law of attraction.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And no, I'm not doing my law of attraction, thank you very much. And because I don't really feel that we can. So This is very interesting, Peggy, because, and I wanted to ask you too, because I've always been an intuitive mystic. And when I saw the film, I was upset straight away. I walked out of there with my head hanging down, and all these other people were rah-rah, and they were all excited. And I felt like such an outcast at that point, because I thought, I don't get what they're all excited about. Something's really disturbing me.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, my heart was pounding. I was that disturbed. Could it be my intuition tapped into the subliminals, tapped into the reversals?
I would say there's no question about it. I would say absolutely, because if you were really picking up that there is a manipulation, then there's no question that you know it on a higher level. And essentially, most people do. We all do. But some people are just they've allowed things to penetrate their conscious mind more readily than other people who really are more blocked. They've blocked it off. And I think it's important to point out that while I'm listening to these reversals, when this the Reverend Mike, I don't know why I can't remember his last name, I better write it down. When he's speaking about, he talks about attracting positive people in your life, having a positive outlook. See, he tends to get more into relationship.
Yes.
Where the others seem to be, from the point I got, they were more into things and stuff. He tends to be more into relationship. And when he's talking about attracting people and circumstances because of your positive outlook, he's not contradicting himself like this, the Australian lady you just heard, or even this Bob Proctor. What he's saying is, this is confusing the whole issue, because what we're supposed to be working on is relationship, is being a positive person, is being there to help others when we can. And they're glomming it all into, you can have everything and anything. You can have the car, the house, the boat, the jewelry, and good friends. And, so there, he, in one of his reversals, says, you're confusing this, because you're talking about two different things.
Yes.
Now, I don't believe myself, because I consider myself a pretty positive person. And so I have found over my life that if I do attract a negative person to me, which I have in the past, and I find that I just really can't deal with the person, and I have a tendency to be a rescuer, so I'm trying to get
too
out of that. And, but some people just, you just have to give up after a while, because they're pretty much draining you dry. So then what you do is you begin to distance yourself from that person, either in a subtle way or maybe not so subtle way. But this is not a magical thing, like a magnet. This is, you make a choice. I don't think I want this person around me. So, you might not call them up or go out with them as much, and eventually you get them out of your life, and that's how it usually works. I don't think it's this magic bullet that suddenly, if you're positive, you'll only have positive people in your life. You'll have all different kinds of people in your life. So I do think that that's more of a conscious choice. I think, and when he also, this is a really kind of interesting one. I just want you to hear this, because I don't know who's, which person it was. It wasn't that reverend. But he's talking about how you can all have, well, I'll let you listen to it forward, because it's a very kind of tricky but interesting reversal. The reverse speech mind is just amazing. But here it is in forward.
The greatest law in the universe, and that's the law of attraction. You become what you think about most, but you also attract what you...
Did you hear where he says, you become what you think about? I'll play one more time. But
mm-hmm.
Pay attention where he says, you three times.
The greatest law in the universe, and that's the law of attraction. You become what you think about most, but you also attract what you...
When he says, you, when you reverse that, he says, greed, greed, greed.
Wow. Very
interesting. Except he kind of says it like Elmer Fudd. He says, greed, greed, greed. Because he didn't have the right R. But let me just, I'll just play the greed, greed, greed.
Greed, greed, greed.
Very interesting.
Yeah,
very
because
interesting.
He's trying to, you know, tell you that when it's about, you know, you or me, what I can get, what I'm going to get, was, you know, this and that is coming into my life, as it's like greed, because it's a lot. They're really, really lighting the fire of greed in this. I mean, whether we like to think about it, it's there. Jewelry, cars, a brand new car, you know, they kind of bring up relationships, but sort of like, kind of off to the side a little bit. And in this one clip, I'm just giving you a one-word reversal here. This one person says he's talking about, it's in that same clip, actually, but he's talking about words and how, you know, well, let me just play, I'll just give you that idea. This is the forward where he just says the words.
Words.
And when you turn that around, he says sterile.
Now, what was it for, the king?
So there's, you know, we tend to try to, in reverse speaking, we do try to really hone in on just what the person is saying forward and either correct them or go, you know, or say, yep, he's right on. This person, okay, here, this is an interesting...
Now, what was he saying in forward? I've got no idea.
Oh, okay. I should have had done more of that. Let me see. Mm-hmm. He's saying... I didn't keep that whole clip. Sorry. It's somewhere. I'll see if I can't find it. I was trying to get this sort of, you know, laid out in a sequence, and I should have gotten more of that. But let me just... I might just have it. And let me see. Just to give me a second. Why don't you say something brilliant?
Well, I was... something that was actually going through my mind about this, too, when I saw the film, they were talking about a gay man who was being picked on
yes.
so profusely because he was gay. And
yes.
he was attracting it all to himself, yada,
yeah.
yada. And I just nodded my head and I thought, no, because I was thinking about the fact that when I was a child, I was horribly poked fun at and ridiculed for being disabled.
Mm.
But I wasn't even having thoughts about attracting negative reactions towards me because, you know, you're very innocent as a child.
Right.
You don't develop this, oh, people don't like people who are different. You know, I just went into the world and was being horribly poked fun at and crying and everything. And
oh.
I just thought, no, it's because the human psyche, the way it has been for a long time, does not like people who are different. They feel threatened by people who are different.
Yes.
So they're going to attack them. And animals do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's not because I was attracting negativity to me. I just don't buy that.
No, that's really ridiculous. I mean, that whole concept that a child is, you know, holding negative thoughts and,
yes.
you know, and bringing this into their lives. I mean, I had... You know, my childhood, my mother died when I was 5, and there were 3 of us and little children, and we were, you know, it was a very, very painful childhood. And my gosh, I don't think I drew that to me because of my negative thoughts. It
yeah.
was events and circumstances that happened around, you know, around us. And I actually did find that clip. So
okay, great.
I want you to listen for when it's a little bit towards the end when he says words. That's where I got the, you know, that sterile. But here's the forward clip.
But we're really talking at a level of thought. Our job as humans is to hold on to the thoughts of what we want, make it absolute clear in our minds what we want. And from that, we start to invoke one of the greatest laws of the universe, and that's the law of attraction. You become what you think about most, but you also attract what you think about most. If you see it in here, you're going to hold it here. And that principle can be summed up in 3 simple words. Thoughts.
Yeah, there was the words. Thoughts become things. That's what I'm finishing his phrase because I remember. But where he says 3 simple, when he says words, and just before he says thoughts become things, he says in reverse, sterile. So your thoughts don't necessarily become things. And my biggest problem with all this which also does include the guilt factor,
yes,
and the, you know, all those things, is a very, I think this is, oops. What I think what happens too is when people take this to heart, they really believe, because I was doing this for quite a while before The Secret came out, you know, because The Secret really isn't anything new. But when you really take this to heart, what happens is you don't want to be thinking about anything negative because you really believe you can draw that negative thing into your life. So people will patently avoid thinking about what is actually going on here in this world, in other countries, even in this country, to other people, that is cruel, unjust, and they, it's there's this feeling of, I don't want to think about that because I don't want to draw that to me.
And then people go into denial about what is.
Yes, and they don't take any time, because they're trying to stay positive all the time, to look at what's happening in other war-torn countries or in places in our own country that are people that are suffering, and they can distance themselves and distract themselves. If they keep their mind on that new car, that new job, that, you know, whatever, then they don't have to think of the 600,000 plus people that are have been killed in Iraq and in other places,
mm-hmm,
all the horrors that are happening in Darfur. And the other excuse I hear is, well, I can't do anything about it, so I don't want to think about it. Well, everybody can do something.
Yes.
Everybody can send love, healing, prayers. Even if you don't want to get out there and march or, you know, write letters, you can all, but I think the thing is you have to connect with other people because we're all in this together.
Absolutely.
And as long as we feel that we can't think about that, or else it's going to show up in our lives in some way, we are distancing ourselves and separating ourselves from the rest of humanity. And this is how the reptilian race, divide and conquer, have gotten this far on the planet. In all these different manipulations, they kept us fighting over all different things. And in the secret community, they keep you from thinking anything bad that might be happening here because we don't want it in our lives. It's a very sophisticated mechanism to keep people distracted and thinking about stuff and things that they're going to attract. And I, to me, I have the biggest problem with that. That's like my number one biggest problem.
I do too. And I also feel that it's really important to just be honest and matter of fact and acknowledge something. It, you know, even if it's painful or unpleasant, just, it's important not to go into denial about something, because then once we can face something squarely, then we can do something about it.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with thinking positively, and there's especially nothing wrong with being very loving and projecting loving, healing thoughts. But it's important not to go into denial about what's going on in our current world, or else we're not going to be able to dissolve this gridlock that's been holding us in captive servitude for thousands of years.
Yes, that's absolutely true. And I think that compassion and caring about others, and, you know, I just thought about this as you were speaking, Juliet, that when I was talking to the people over on the other side, and I found out, you know, that they were lying to me, and it really, you know, people could not understand why I kept it up. I kept trying to figure out why they were lying and what's going on over there. And because I was having really daily conversations, and I had a lot of people here who heard them also, but I could not turn my back on them. I just couldn't do it. It was like I didn't want to be dealing with their, you know, their lies and such, and they're jerking me around. But there was part of me that just knew that they really needed help. Not that I had a clue as to how to help them, but I couldn't dismiss them. I just couldn't do it. And because I stuck with it, they came to trust me. I talked to about 20 different people over there. And that's how they started to tell me that their children were trapped there and what was happening with these demons and things and the stuff that I had never heard of before. And if I had just written them off as just low lives, I would never have gotten into that part of myself where I really had to come to a compassionate place. And I've heard things because I have this recorder. It's a Panasonic RRDR60, which is now defunct. I think I mentioned it last week. It's the one that Panasonic discontinued because of all the other voices. And I have heard these reptilians, because once the reptilians moved in about 4 years ago, I haven't been rid of them since, but I've heard things that they've done to people on the other side. And it has caused me to literally weep for days, just weep. But I told myself, I will not turn my back on these people. I'll be a witness to their pain because they feel abandoned by everyone. And I was not going to do that. So even though it caused me pain, I think we all should feel a little pain for others who are suffering, because we're all together with this. We're
yes.
all part of this. And so I'm very passionate about this.
Well, I feel the same way, Madeira. And, when I was on the other side, I saw a lot of people suffering too, even though I didn't go into the realm that they were in. I was just viewing it, as it were.
Really?
But I felt such love and compassion for them, and I wanted them to be free of their pain and suffering. But the thing, the message that came through to me so strongly was that they too will ultimately return to the light, that this is a temporary situation, and that they will be freed of this. And so that gave me a lot of hope. Because
yeah.
I do feel this compassion for everyone, even the reptilians, even though I want to tell them, bugger off, you bloody so-and-sos, I would say things like, go back to the light, you can have love too, because they feed on fear, so I don't want to go there, and I'm always working on elevating my own frequency to a place of love so that I won't be a good, juicy feast for them, being all caught up in fear. So I believe it is really important not to be in denial about what is actually going on, and understanding that indeed there is something that can be done about it. We've got to be realistic, we've got to be honest, and we can't just do a cotton candy thing. And that's what I've been calling the law of attraction. It's incomplete is what it is. And so that also makes it very inaccurate. And that's not to say that there are not some things about it that are positive, but this whole thing, I just straight away, like you did, Peggy, I got that it's a very serious manipulation, and I can't believe already we've gone another hour.
Oh my gosh,
I want to ask you just to say really quickly if you've got any announcements you'd like to share with our audience before we sign off, Peggy. Very quickly.
I would just like to invite everybody, to stop by my website. I've got a lot of audio files. They include the Pleiadians and Planet X, which is going to shred this net, and that is a huge story, and lots of other things. And it's a blog, so people can write in, and I try to I do try to respond to people, but it's really kind of hard to respond to everybody. But yeah, and also I want to give that, if people want to download that free website, if I can give that address very quickly.
Sure.
It's http://audacity sourceforge.net, and that way they can reverse and play around with this. I encourage everybody to listen in reverse. And my website is evpreversespeaking.com, and I am so grateful for allowing you to express myself tonight and to play some of my reversals on your show, Juliet. You are, I consider you a good friend now. Thank you so much.
Well, you are so welcome, Madeira. And I want to let everybody know you've been listening to Toward the Light, Leading Back to the Source. This is Reverend Juliet Nightingale reminding you that it is only with the heart that one sees rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. Please remember that only love prevails. We will speak to you next week. Blessings and light to all.